जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यशोदानन्दन ब्रज जनरञ्जन यमुना तीरावनचारी यमुना तीरावनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिचकाचार्य श्रीमद्भक्ति भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद जय विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिचकाचार्य अष्टोदश श्री श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर श्रील प्रभुपाद की अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की वृंदावन मथुर धाम की जय मायापुर नवदीप धाम की जय पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय कलिग पावन श्री हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय निताय गौर प्रेमानंद ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटी ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरु एंड गौर ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओ ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयामुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्टिकी। Hare Krishna. So, I would like to welcome all of you for this Sunday feast class. In fact, I was not expecting that I'll have to give this Sunday class because it's a Brahmacharis Yatra and many Brahmacharis have gone to Melukote. And some other I stayed back and I thought that I can have my own time. But some other I've been instructed to give this class. So I try to do this as a service. So I'm reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, text 1. The title, the name of the chapter is Transcendental Knowledge. You don't have to repeat, I will just read. Shri Bhagavanu Vacha Imam Vivasvate Yogam Prokta Vahanam Avyam Vivasvan Manve Praha Manu Rikshvakave Pravit. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation: The Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna, said, I instructed this imperishable science of yoga to the sun god, Vivasvan, and Vivasvan instructed it to Manu, the father of mankind, and Manu in turn instructed it to Ikshvaku. Purport: Herein we find the history of the Bhagavad Gita traced from a remote time when it was delivered to the royal order of all planets. Beginning from the sun planet, the kings of all planets are especially meant for the protection of the inhabitants, and therefore the royal order should understand the science of Bhagavad Gita in order to be able to rule the citizens and protect them from the material bondage to lust. Human life is meant for cultivation of spiritual knowledge. In eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the executive heads of all states and all planets are obliged to impart this lesson to the citizens by education, culture and devotion. In other words, the executive heads of all states are intended to spread the science of Krishna consciousness so that the people may take advantage of this great science and pursue a successful path, utilizing the opportunity of the human form of life. In this millennium, the sun god is known as Vivasvan, the king of the sun, which is the origin of all planets within the solar system. In the Brahma Sanhita 5.52, it is stated, Yachakshuresh Savita Sakala Grahanam Raja Samasta Suramurtir Asheshateja Yasyadnaya Brahmati Samruta Kala Chakro Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Let me worship, Lord Brahma said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Govinda, Krishna, who is the original person and under whose order this sun, which is the king of all planets, is assuming immense power and heat. The sun represents the eye of the Lord, and traverses its orbit in obedience to his order. The sun is the king of the planets, and the sun god, at present of the name Vivasvan, rules the sun planet, which is controlling all other planets by supplying heat and light. He is rotating under the order of Krishna, and Lord Krishna originally made Vivasvan his first disciple to understand the science of Bhagavad Gita. The Gita is not, therefore, a speculative treatise for the insignificant mundane scholar, but it is a standard book of knowledge coming down from the time immemorial. In the Mahabharat Shanti Parva 348.51-52, we can trace out the history of the Gita as follows. Treta yugadav cha tatav vivasvan manve dadav manuscha lokabhrityartham suta ekshvakeve dadav ikshvakavuna cha kathitav vyapta lokan avasthita. In the beginning of the millennium, known as Treta Yuga, this science of the relationship with the Supreme was delivered by Vivasvan to Manu. Manu, being the father of the mankind, gave it to his son Maharaj Ikshvaku, the king of this earth planet and forefather of the Raghu dynasty, in which Lord Ramachandra appeared. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita existed in human society from the time of Maharaj Ikshvaku. At the present moment, we have just passed through 5,000 years of the Kali Yuga, which lasts 4,32,000 years. Before this, there was Dwapar Yuga, 800,000 years. And before that, there was Treta Yuga, 1,200,000 years. Thus, some 2,005,000 years ago, Manu spoke the Bhagavad Gita to his disciple and son Maharaj Ikshvaku, the king of this planet Earth. The age of the current Manu is calculated to last some 305,300,000 years, of which 120,400,000 have passed. Accepting that before the birth of Manu, the Gita was spoken by the Lord to his son, to his disciple, sun god Vivasvan, a rough estimate is that Gita was spoken at least 120,400,000 years ago. And in human society, it has been extant for 2 million years. It was re-spoken by the Lord again to Arjuna about 5,000 years ago. This is a rough estimate of the history of the Gita, according to the Gita itself, and according to the version of the speaker, Lord Sri Krishna. It was spoken to the sun god Vivasvan because he is also a Kshatriya and the father of all the Kshatriyas who are descendants of the sun god or the Surya Vamsha Kshatriyas. Because Bhagavad Gita is as good as the Vedas, being spoken by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this knowledge is apaurusheya, superhuman. Since the Vedic instructions are accepted as they are, without human interpretation, the Gita must therefore be accepted without mundane interpretation. The mundane wranglers may speculate on the Gita in their own ways, but that is not Bhagavad Gita as it is. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita has to be accepted as it is from the disciplic succession, and it is described herein that the Lord spoke to the sun god, the sun god spoke to his son Manu, and Manu spoke to his son Ikshvaku. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutali स्वयं रूप कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्त स्वामीनिति नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशतारिणे नमो महावदन्याय कृष्ण प्रेमा प्रदायते कृष्णाय कृष्ण चैतन्य नामने गौरत्विषे नमः। हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते कोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः। जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि कौरभक्तवृंद। हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो इन दिस वर्स लॉर्ड कृष्णा इज टेलिंग द history of the Gita. As we know that Lord Krishna was speaking Bhagavad Gita to Arjun on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. When Arjuna was completely confused about his duty and he completely surrendered to Lord Krishna. There were armies standing in front of each other, ready to fight. Kauravas and Pandavas on each side. And here, in the middle, Lord Krishna, he took that his Arjuna's chariot in between both the armies. And he's making Arjuna as an instrument to give this knowledge. And why there was a reason for giving this knowledge, that Lord Krishna explains in the next verse. Evam parampara praptam imam rajarshayo vidu sa kale neha mata yogo nashta paramta. Lord Krishna tells that this knowledge has been existing since millions of years before. It is not that just 5,000 years before Lord Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. But here in this verse, Lord Krishna himself is telling that in the beginning, Lord Krishna gave this knowledge to Sun God, Vivaswan. Vivaswan gave to Manu, Manu to Ikshvaku. In this way, this parampara is going on. And some other, it appears to be lost. This knowledge appears to be lost. It is, Srila Prabhupada is translating like that, that the knowledge appears to be lost. But the knowledge is not lost actually. So there may be misinterpretations about knowledge. People deviate from the religious principles and they engage into sinful activities. So therefore there is a need to revive this knowledge, to again re-establish the principles of religion. And that is the purpose of Lord Krishna's incarnations. he later on explains that he comes every millennia, every yuga he comes, and he reestablishes the principles of religion, protects the devotees and annihilates all the miscreants. So here we have seen a lot of calculations. Srila Prabhupada is giving all these calculations to prove that how this knowledge was existing for so many years. It is not a recently developed religion or cult. This knowledge has been there since so many millions of years before. And it has to be understood in a proper disciplic succession. Here it is said that Rajarshaya Vidhu, this is the Lord Krishna gave this knowledge to the saintly kings. So one may wonder that what is the parampara given at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has given. What is that parampara? So our acharyas explain that there are two types of disciplic successions. One is the Rajarshi parampara and another is the Brahmarshi parampara. The sages also receive the knowledge from Lord Krishna himself. And that is the parampara which is given in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavad Gita. In the introduction, Lord Krishna gave that knowledge to Brahma, Brahma to his son Narad, then Vyasadev. Like that it has come down in a disciplic succession. And then later on, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also came in that disciplic succession. And then later on, Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada has written his book, Bhagavad Gita as it is. And Srila Prabhupada explains that why there was a need to write one more commentary. Because, again, the main purpose of Gita, the spirit of Bhagavad Gita, the main message was lost. And therefore, there was need to give the message as it is, without any misinterpretation. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada has written this Bhagavad Gita as it is. And how we can understand that this is the right book, or which this is giving them the perfect message? That is in the results. How, what is the effect of this book? By reading this book, so many people have become devotees. They had so many misconceptions about Bhagavad Gita or this knowledge, Vedic knowledge. But after reading this Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada's purports especially, the message becomes very clear. What is the purpose of Bhagavad Gita? Why there are so many yogas given? And what is the highest form of yoga? How to practice that? That becomes very clear. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada wrote this Bhagavad Gita as it is. So therefore, in this chapter 4, the transcendental knowledge, Lord Krishna is giving this. And in the previous chapters, Lord Krishna was telling to Arjuna to fight. And to fight in a proper spirit. In the third chapter, he instructed Arjuna that he should fight with knowledge. So what is that knowledge that Lord Krishna is giving in this chapter, transcendental knowledge? And how to receive this knowledge? What is the history of this knowledge? that is given in this first three verses. And therefore, it is very, very important that we read these books, Srila Prabhupada's books, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and practice that. That is very, very important. And then we'll understand that how important it is and how Srila Prabhupada has struggled to give this knowledge to us. Srila Prabhupada, in the beginning, when he was not even, I mean, he was just householder. He had not even given up his household life, and he was still living with his family, and he had some business, and he used to go to Jhansi, you know. So he was instructed by his spiritual master, Shri Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Maharaj, to give this message to all people, especially in the Western world, teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And if we go through the history of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, or Chaitanya Charitamrita, we'll see that the message had been lost in so many ways. Here, Lord Krishna is reviving this message, although it was spoken so many millions of years before, but over a period of time it was lost. So again, Lord Krishna spoke and gave Srimad Bhagavatam. Also, we can see that there were so many people, even in India, they were like from different sampradayas. They were questioning about the authenticity of Gaudiya Parampara. And our acharyas have struggled to establish the supremacy of Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srila Prabhupada dedicates this Bhagavad Gita to Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushan, who wrote Govinda Bhashya, commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And he established that how Srimad Bhagavatam is the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. And which is given by Srila Vyasadeva, who comes in proper disciplic succession. So there is no need for writing any commentary, because in this parampara, our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya parampara, that commentary is already given, so there is no need of writing. But still, some people, they objected, and Srila Baladev Vidyabhushan, he established that yes, Srimad Bhagavatam is a natural commentary, and he wrote Govinda Bhashya, and Govinda Bhashya is directly instructed by Shri Govindev, Radha Govindev, the deities are in now Jaipur. So they instructed, and Baladev Vidyabhushan, he wrote down. So, and then later on, Chaitanya Charitamrita, we can see that just 5,000 years before, this Kali Yuga has begun. And Srila Prabhupada, he explains, he told once in his lectures that the beginning of, I mean, when the Kali Yuga began, the religion was 25%. Kali Yuga began with just 25% religion remaining. So, and within this last 5,000 years, we can see that how much Kali Yuga is making progress, and religion is almost getting lost. In fact, somebody is professing or practicing some kind of religion, they are ridicule or they are trouble, their life becomes miserable. But without practicing a bona fide religion, one cannot understand what is the ultimate goal of life. And therefore, there is a great need to follow proper religion, not any speculated religion. Because in Kali Yuga, there is no dearth of different types of speculations. People, they concoct their religion. They start worshipping any demigod or any imaginary form that is not according to the Vedic standards. So therefore, to get the exact essence or the exact right path, it is very, very difficult. There is so much confusion about what is the right path. And therefore, Lord has to come again every yuga and establish that. And 5,000 years before, He established and He went back. But we can see that even after that, there had been so many problems. People, in the name of religion, they were killing animals, justifying these sinful activities. And they are getting misdirected. And therefore, our acharyas have prayed to the Lord to come again. And we can see that Srila Advaita Acharya was none other than the incarnation of Mahavishnu and Sadashiv. He was offering prayers to Lord to incarnate again, so that people of Kali Yuga will be saved. And we can see that just 500 years before, Srila Prabhupada tells many times that just 500 years before, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And who is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Many times people, they don't know also. Of course, Lord came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but He kept His identity hidden. That was the purpose. He didn't reveal externally His majestic aspect or His identity as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only those who were very close associates, they could understand that He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And even when they would tell Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, still He would close His ears and run away from that place. Because He had come in the mood of a devotee. And He wanted to set an example that how a devotee should behave or how he should practice his devotional service. So that was the incarnation, Channa Avatar, hidden incarnation. And He again established the highest form of devotional service. He empowered His disciples, especially the six Goswamis, who wrote down a lot of devotional commentaries. How to practice devotional service? Because even the essence of Bhagavad Gita is devotional service, not karma yoga or jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga. Many times there are again speculations on Bhagavad Gita. People say that karma yoga, karma hi karo, just do your karma, just perform your duty. But that is not the ultimate purpose of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita has to be accepted completely not just one verse of Bhagavad Gita. So Srila Prabhupada has given this Krishna consciousness as a complete package. It is not we have to just practice one part of it and leave it the others. So therefore we have to understand this mystery of Bhagavad Gita and how to practice that under proper guidance. Otherwise one may be misdirected. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came and he gave that path. He showed by his own example that simply by chanting, dancing, because that is the only method by which one can make progress in spiritual life, especially in Kali Yuga. Because Kali Yuga is a very difficult age. One cannot perform austerities, cultivate knowledge, or perform big sacrifices, or worship the deities in a very standard way, with great care and punctuality. It is not possible. But simply by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, one can make progress. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he showed by his own example that how simply by chanting and dancing one can make progress. And last week there was Jagannath Rath Yatra, and every year Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would dance in front of Lord Jagannath during the Rath Yatra. And many devotees also, they elaborated on that, various pastimes. And but before Lord would dance in front of Jagannath Rath Yatra, the previous day there would be Gundicha Maharshan. He would instruct all his associates and followers, disciples, to cleanse the temple of Gundicha, where the Lord is invited. And a purpose, what is the purpose of cleaning that temple? Because Gundicha temple is considered to be Vrindavan, and Jagannath Puri's temple is considered to be Dwarka. Lord is coming from Dwarka to Vrindavan, and he is going to stay there for almost 7-8 days. So that temple has to be very clean. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he would, with the help of his associates, and he would clean that temple. They would first clean all the whatever the straws and spables and everything, they would clean, and then they would later on with the water all the small particles also they would remove. So what is the significance of this Gundicha Maharshan, cleaning of Gundicha temple? It is that before inviting Lord to this place, which is Vrindavan, that place must be very clean. How can Lord, we invite a Lord to a dirty place? Lord cannot come. We may keep the form of a Lord, but Lord will not be happy in that situation. So therefore, that place has to be very clean. Similarly, this is what is the significance of cleaning the Gundicha temple. Lord Chaitanya, he told that this is like cleaning our heart. Before we invite the Lord to come in our heart has to be very clean. And so many anarthas, the gross anarthas and the subtle anarthas, they have to be clean. Then only Lord can come to that place. And therefore, it is very, very important that we clean our heart. And especially the chanting of the Holy Name. Chanting of the Holy Name can clean the heart. But of course, it has to be done in a proper consciousness, under proper guidance. And after Lord Chaitanya's disappearance also, we can see that there had been many upper sampradayas. And they were also apparently exhibiting the symptoms of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they were also chanting and dancing. And sometimes some of them, they had even speculated about the mantra also. And there was lot of rasabhas. I mean the mellows, the pure mellows of devotional service, they were completely misinterpreted. And they were accepted as the followers of devotional service. And there had been many, many upper sampradayas like that. Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he had written something like 108 types of upper sampradayas. The list is very big. So, and they were misdirecting people. So even apparently bhakti, the chanting and dancing, which is the highest form of devotional service and which is the yuga dharma for this age, even that was also misinterpreted. And therefore there was a great need to again purify that path, or to establish what is the exact process. Otherwise, people by nature they are very innocent, and even somebody exhibits some kind of symptoms or shows some kind of power, chamatkar or some magic, people feel that this is real spirituality. And they immediately start following. And the more the number of followers, people think that yes, he is the right person. He is a guru, or he is God sometimes. There are a lot of gods. And people, they accept blindly. And that is very dangerous. Srila Prabhupada explains that one should not blindly follow any authority. Blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. So therefore, what is the right path? Who is the right person whom to follow? It's very, very difficult to understand. And therefore, our acharyas, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Sir Thakur, they were very strict about the process of devotional service. Because if somebody tries to jump over and trying to understand the higher rasas in an immature state, then he will create an havoc. Definitely. He will create a great disturbance in the society. Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatri Vidham Vinu Aikantiki Harir Bhakti Utpateva Kalpate. So therefore, in order to understand the right path, one has to approach a bona fide spiritual master. That is very, very important. Without whom, one cannot understand what is the right path. And therefore, in this chapter, Lord Krishna is, in the next few verses, he will tell that in order to understand this knowledge, one must approach a bona fide spiritual master. Tad viddhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya upadekshanti te jnanam jnaninas tattvadarshina. So, Srila Prabhupada also, he showed by his own example that when he met his spiritual master the first time, he was of a different mindset. But after hearing from his spiritual master, he understood that yes, what he is saying is correct. And then later on he dedicated himself. In fact, at that time he could not immediately give up because he was householder and he had family. But he kept that instruction as a life and soul. And he followed like that. And later on we can see that how on that instruction, Srila Prabhupada, he went to America and he had a great struggle there also. I mean, it was not an easy thing. Even when he was in India, he was trying that his family becomes devotee. They help him, and in that way he wanted to set up something. But there was no cooperation even from his family. And we have heard so many times that his worshipable Srimad Bhagavatam was traded for tea biscuits by his own wife, which was very shocking. He took that very seriously. And he told his family members that, I'm going now. But they thought that it is like an usual affair. Every time he tells that I'm going, he goes and comes back. But this time Srila Prabhupada was very serious. He left that place, his own house. He later on told that he wanted his children to get married. But then he understood later on that there is no point. If I die immediately, then what will happen? That time we will say that Lord will take care. So why not now? And therefore, Srila Prabhupada took that bold step. That was a big challenging step in his life. He just left everything. And he didn't know actually where he's going. And one friend, he just took money and he went to Jhargram, somewhere the south of Kolkata, almost 10 kilometers from Kolkata. There was some Gaudiya Math and he stayed there for some time. And he had left his house. And later on, afterwards, he went to Jhansi, where he had established League of Devotees. And Srila Prabhupada was very hopeful that this building, we will utilize it for spreading the message of Lord Chaitanya. And later on he went to that place at Jhansi. And he found that the wife of governor, she wanted that place. For what? For having some kind of social committee for ladies, Mahila Samiti something, for a social cause. And Srila Prabhupada had to fight for that. And he wrote a big letter to the wife of this governor. And he actually, yesterday I was just going through those pages, and incidentally I came across that when Srila Prabhupada wrote that letter, he wrote the first three verses of Bhagavad Gita chapter 4. And he wrote that how this knowledge has been coming down in a proper disciplinary succession. And this is not for a social cause, this place is not for a social cause, but there is a still higher reason. This is for the spiritual cause. The soul, the living entity, is suffering in this material world because of forgetfulness of his real identity. We have forgotten our real identity, and therefore we are suffering. We have forgotten our eternal relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we are trying to identify in this material world with so many identities. And we are somehow trying to be comfortable in that situation. And as long as we try to hold on to that concept, bodily concept of life, we'll not get any proper direction. We'll not understand what is the goal of life. When there is little disturbance in our life, I mean, when we really try to understand who we are, when we really get disturbed about our real identity, then this message will become very clear. Then we'll understand, yes, this is what Lord Krishna is telling to us, to every living entity. And Srila Prabhupada, as a bona fide representative, as an authorized representative, he has made it very simple. If we try to read Bhagavad Gita in its original verses, we'll definitely misinterpret. We'll not understand. Because there have been so many misinterpretations and so many kinds of speculations about Gita, which are also very dangerous. So Srila Prabhupada wanted to remove those misconceptions. Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshakarina. Everywhere this impersonalism, voidism is filled. And that is another danger. Because even we have the direct knowledge of Bhagavad Gita, but still somebody misinterprets and gives a completely different commentary, we are lost. That soul is lost. So therefore, unless one hears from a pure devotee, one cannot come to the right path. And therefore, our acharyas have been very careful to give the process of devotional service, and especially Srila Rupa Goswami, who went into very basics about in his Upadeshamrut, he's writing Vacho Vegam Manasa Krodha Vegam. These are the urges of this body. Those have to be first controlled. That is the first verse before jumping to the higher rasas. Before one has controlled his tongue, his mind, his senses, one cannot make progress. Then atyahara, prayasya, these are other kinds of obstacles. Those have to be overcome. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also, he has, in his Bhajan Rahasya, he has given the cloud of anarthas. These anarthas have to be first carefully removed. Then, after we are freed from anartha, anartha nivrutisya, then one will get little glimpse of what is devotional service. So therefore it is very, very important that a sadhaka bhakta, a practitioner devotee, he should introspect in his heart and try to identify the anarthas and carefully remove them. Then only one will make progress. If somebody thinks that it is all right if these anarthas are there and I need to just hear the higher rasas, and then these anarthas will automatically get cleansed off, it will not happen. In fact, our acharyas have caution that if somebody tries to artificially jump to the higher rasas when the heart is not clean, then instead of getting the positive result, one may get a completely negative result. In fact, one may deviate from the real path and one may start committing offenses or even wrong activities, sinful activities, and he can justify that it is devotional service. It is all right. You are performing devotional service and even you have some kind of anarthas or some kind of bad habits, that is all right. That is not proper. So therefore, in order to make progress in the spiritual path, one has to very carefully follow the instructions of spiritual master. And when somebody follows the instructions of spiritual master, then heart will become clean. Then one will make progress. And sometimes the instructions may be simple or may be difficult. Sometimes it may appear that, oh, this instruction appears to be very simple. What is the big deal about that? I am following everything. I don't have to go more deeper into that. But again and again we need to refocus and we should ask question to ourselves whether I am following or not properly. And if you are sincere, then we will realize that yes, we are not following properly. There is a great need that I need to improve on my sadhana, my chanting. So when we practice in that way, then we will have some hope actually. And Srila Prabhupada has given this moment, ISKCON moment, and how much struggle he has taken to establish that. In fact, he took lot of risk because he knew that time is very short. He started almost at the age of 70. He went to America at the age of 70. Nobody can think about it. Nobody should try to imitate also. That will not work. So Srila Prabhupada gave that at the age of 70, and he took a lot of risk also. He initiated many young devotees, given them sannyas, diksha. So that was a big risk he took. But all of them are very glorious. Even they had difficulties, you know. But still, for Srila Prabhupada, they were all glorious. And some other, even at the time of urgency, they have helped Srila Prabhupada. So therefore, definitely they are special souls. And we should not see the apparent fall downs or their faults. So Srila Prabhupada has given this moment, and the path has been very very, very wonderful actually. If these temples would not have been there, Srila Prabhupada's books would not have been there, then we would not have got the opportunity, and of course his devotees, because they are extending themselves. Devotees, they go out and invite people to come to temples or distributing books. And even in the temples, certain devotees, they perform worship to the deities and try to maintain the standards. So it is a big platform Srila Prabhupada has given, by which thousands and thousands of conditioned souls can get benefit. And every living entity has an eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, and he reciprocates with every soul in a very, very unique way. And that is the first time experience one gets. When somebody comes to Krishna consciousness, one gets the first taste of Krishna consciousness, the first impression, and which is very, very unique, which nobody can forget in our own lives, that how we came to Krishna consciousness, right? Anybody can forget that some devotee, he gave me book, or the first visit to temple, right? I met this devotee, or I saw the deity is decorated so nicely, or there was very wonderful fragrance of incense going on. So many devotees are captivated by that. And so many first experiences in our own lives, those keep lasting memories, and that keeps propelling forward. First yatra, right? First yatra to Jagannath Puri or Vrindavan or Mayapur. These are the first time experiences, and which really help one to make progress in devotional life or Krishna consciousness, and which are very, very important in everyone's life actually. And we should try to share those experiences with each other, so that we inspire each other, and so that they also take to Krishna consciousness. So even in my own case also, when I was not, I mean, so much interested, my friend was telling that he should come to satsang or like that. I was trying to avoid many times. So many times I avoided him. But then one time I said, no, let me go. Let me go and see what is this satsang. And he's always telling about prasad and all. I want to understand what is this. So my first visit was to Khar program. Khar, third road, Murli Mahal, Mahaprabhu's place. So that was my first visit to any satsang program or introduction to Krishna consciousness. So we went, my friend and myself, we went little early, and we were sitting there, and hardly any devotees had come. And then later on, few devotees started coming. And then I still remember, I will not quote anyone's names. Maybe you can guess who are those devotees. But there was one tall devotee, Grihastha devotee. He was playing mridanga and he was chanting Narasingha prayers. Sometimes he acts as Lord Ram in the dramas. So those memories are still in my mind, that he is so ecstatically, so absorbed in chanting the Narasingha prayers. And I was so happy to hear that. So wonderful, he is, so much absorption. Mm. Then, of course, the deities were very beautiful, Shri Radha Natuvar. And then I saw one small boy there, maybe 5-6 years old. Now, of course, he has grown up and he has a daughter. In the same. So in this way, the first impressions, the first memories are still very strong. So many small boys I saw, and they have grown up now. They have got married. So, and then devotees also I saw. So many brahmacharis I saw at that time. And that was the first visit. And of course, that time, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, he had come to give that satsang program. So those memories were also, those words were also very powerful actually. Then the first visit to temple, no? Then somebody told me, one devotee at that time, he told me how to come to temple. I didn't know where is this temple, how to come. So he told that you had to get down at Grand Road Station, you go to the west, and then you cross the road, then you see one peepal tree at the corner. Then you keep walking straight. You'll go like this and you'll see Bharti Vidya Bhavan. Then turn into that lane. And then I came in that way. And at the time this temple was completely different temple. It was not like how we see today. There were a lot of buzz about, lot of children playing around, school, bowlers classes, and somewhere inside there was Shri Shri Radha Gopinath temple. So then I came here, and there was one devotee, he was not married, now he's married. And he was so jubilant and happy all the time. And just while looking at him, I was feeling, oh, he's so happy actually. Kantimala and glasses. And then he said that, yes, so I'm so happy to see you. You have come here, and let us go to meet Maharaj. That was a big thing for me. Because that time, those guests who would come, they could directly meet Maharaj. And Maharaj would also come and talk to them and spend time. So I was not expecting that, because first time I heard Maharaj at car program, but that time I did not ask any questions. I was not speaking anything that time. So when he insisted that you should meet Maharaj, so there were a few more devotees, and even I went and sat there. And so Maharaj came, and he was answering everyone. Some devotees were asking questions, and even I also asked something. So Maharaj answered. So in that way, those first interactions or the first impressions one gets in this moment are so important actually. If somebody would have not treated properly, then probably I would not be here. But those devotees who took care and thought that let this soul get some opportunity, some benefit, and that mercy of the devotee is so important actually. That we help others, or we see other souls and help them to make progress in their spiritual lives. Sometimes we may also be facing so many difficulties, and challenges in our own lives, but we extend ourselves little bit and we see that this person appears to be a new person and he may need some guidance or help. And if I give little bit help, that can change his life. And many times it has happened that those devotees who have extended themselves little bit, they have come out of their comfort zones and took that opportunity to guide an innocent soul, and they have seen wonderful results happening. Whether it may be being in the temple and talking with a guest, or going out on book distribution and distributing books and meeting people, or any kind of devotional service, satsang programs, one can meet so many souls and they are very interested to hear this message. And when somebody tries to give this message very, very purely, without any misinterpretation, one can see that so many people, they are interested to hear. They want to hear and understand this knowledge. And we have so many books. Srila Prabhupada has given this Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. And his disciples also have written so many books. And some books are written in a very, very scientific way. So those books can be used to give the message of Lord Chaitanya, of Lord Krishna, to bring those conditioned souls back home, back to God, on this path. And in that way, opportunity for that conditioned soul can be given. And therefore this the culture of receiving guests or taking care of new people is so important. And even in the case of Lord Krishna, there are so many wonderful stories and examples. Lord Krishna himself, he took care of Sudama Brahma. And then on another occasion, he went as a guest. Lord Krishna went as a guest. And that is also very wonderful. There is a story in Krishna book that there was a city of Mithila. And in that city, there were two devotees. There was one Brahman, Shrutadev, and King Bahulashva. Both were devotees. Both were devotees of Lord Krishna. And they were very, very simple-hearted. The Brahmana, he didn't gather more than required. He was self-satisfied. He was always serving the Lord. And he engaged all his family members also in serving the Lord. Even the king, Bahulashva, he did not extend his kingdom for his sense gratification. Usually Kshatriyas, they want to conquer other kings and all. But he was very, very content. And when they were praying to the Lord that he comes to their place, and Lord Krishna decided once that, yes, let me go to meet these two devotees, what they are doing. And this story comes almost at the end of Krishna book. And I was trying to find out if there is any relationship or there is some connection, but I could not find. Maybe some great expert devotees they can find. In the beginning, the chapter is kidnapping of Subhadra. Arjuna is kidnapping, Krishna is instructing. And then suddenly, Sukadeva Goswami is telling that this story of King Bahulashva and Brahmanashutra Dev. So he told that Lord Krishna, he told his chariot driver, Daruka, to take his chariot to Mithila. And there these two great devotees were staying. And Lord Krishna went with many sages. Many sages were there. They came with Lord Krishna. And as they were passing through different provinces, just by looking at these great sages and Lord Krishna, they were getting purified. Because Krishna is all pure. Krishna, he just by glancing at all those places, people were getting purified. And some were bringing gifts and welcoming the Lord. So in that way, the Lord was giving His mercy to everyone. And it appeared that the sun is there with so many of His satellite planets. And in this way, the Lord reached to this place of Mithila. And when these two devotees heard that Lord has come, both of them, they came to greet the Supreme Lord. And both of them, they invited the Supreme Lord Krishna to come to their home. And Lord Krishna, he agreed. And he went to the homes of both of them simultaneously. He expanded himself in order to please both of them. He expanded in his Vaibha Prakash opulence form, and he went to both of their places, because King Bahulashva, he welcomed the Supreme Lord with all his royal reception. He brought wonderful cushions, chairs, and all the great sages were sitting there. He washed the feet of Lord Krishna, sprinkled that water on his head and on the heads of his family members. And in this way, he gave wonderful gifts to the Supreme Lord and all the sages. And he requested the Lord to stay at his home for some days. And Lord also happily agreed, and he stayed. And in that way, he was getting purified. And in fact, this king was restless while serving the Lord, because of love he was having for the Supreme Lord. And in the house of Shrutadev, this Brahmana did not have anything, very simple things. So when Lord came to his house, he started dancing. Do we dance if somebody comes to our house? But he was dancing. That is the way of receiving. He was so happy that he offered that to the Supreme Lord. And his turban, he was waving. And in that way, he welcomed the Supreme Lord with wonderful, nice words. And he also washed the feet of Lord Krishna and sprinkled that water on his family members. And whatever capacity he had, He gave, he offered straw mats, some wooden planks to sit, very, very basic things. But still Krishna accepted that. Because Krishna accepts whatever is offered with love and devotion. In this example, Lord Krishna is very wonderfully showing that how he can go to the house of the richest of the kings, and he can go to the house of the poor Brahmana and still be happy, still be satisfied. Whatever, because both of them, they were offering with love and devotion. And that is what Lord Krishna was pleased with. And in this way, they, both of them, they served Supreme Lord. And the Supreme Lord, he instructed. He told that, in fact, you should serve these great sages. Because I am more pleased by serving the devotees. If I see that my devotees are served properly, then I am more happy. One may try to worship me directly or go to the holy places and try to get benefit, but that one will get purified definitely, but after many, many births or after a long period of time. But if someone simply tries to please my devotee and tries to serve his instructions, it may be difficult, but if he is sincerely trying, then I am more pleased. So that is the higher principle. Lord Krishna, he explained that worship of my devotee is more superior than worshipping me personally. So therefore, these are the greater, higher, intricate instructions, and which is giving the path, which is showing the path by which one can make progress in spiritual life and not get deviated. And this is all because of Srila Prabhupada, because he has made it very clear how to make progress in this spiritual life by following the instructions of spiritual master. So therefore, if we are to make progress in spiritual life, then it is very, very important that we come in a proper disciplic succession. And even after coming to the proper disciplic succession, one must follow the instructions of spiritual master and not get deviated, and should become purified in his heart, should be very alert in carefully removing the anarthas within the heart. Then one can make progress in the spiritual life. And therefore Srila Prabhupada has given this simple process. And the process is the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare Krishna. So, I would like to conclude now. If anybody has any questions or comments. Related to the class, not beyond this.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Krishna.
Whenever Lord comes here to establish the true religion as a, what we say as pure devotional service, at the same time he also allows to progress the other up sampradayas also. Like when Lord Chaitanya was personally performing pastimes, he allowed Vallabha to be initiated by Gadadhar Pandit, and that ended up in the Pushti Marga Sampradaya. And in the present days we see like Swaminarayan Sampradaya profusely progressing, which doesn't even have the parampara. So at least generally it is expected that when Lord himself comes here to establish the Yuga Dharma, he will do the whitewash of the all up-sampradayas, but he doesn't do it. So what is the reason behind this?
I don't want to comment on other sampradayas or other organizations. We should follow our path sincerely. Things will become clear. We don't have to go into controversies and criticisms of other organizations. They have their faith. They will follow that. We have been given this nice path. So if we follow our own path sincerely, then by seeing your own example, people will be inspired. It is not changing somebody intellectually. That is not our path. Our path is following our own lives. When our heart is purified, then automatically other people will be inspired to follow. Hare Krishna. Any other question? Please pass on the mic.